Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Puzzle of Love podcast. I am your sucker for love host, Dante, with the lovely
Felina.
And we are here with another fabulous couple, Dom and Fran. Dom and Fran, say hi to the people out there.
Good evening.
Hello.
They are tuned in or dialed in, rather. Out in the ATL. So if there's anyone out listening in the dirty South, Dom and Fran are in your backyard, say hello. But you know, Puzzle of Love, it's sort of in the name, a little confusing, but every relationship is made up of a whole lot of different elements, right? They're the puzzle pieces, if you will, that make that relationship, you know, sort of picture perfect in the eyes of the two. So this podcast is, you know, an opportunity for couples to get on a platform and sort of dive into some of the pieces of their puzzle that make their relationship go. And one of the beautiful things about love is that it's so nuanced that some of the same things that a lot of couples deal with can be different. And different doesn't mean wrong, right? Some of the wins and successes could be different, but doesn't mean wrong. So we'll go into that. But there's no way to go into that without first learning about the origin story of Dom and Fran. And so we have a game, and we haven't figured out a cool name for it yet, but I'll just call it the 2-minute drill for the sake of the game. So each of you will get 1 minute, 2 minutes combined, to tell us your story on how you met to today, as far as you can get in the story. You each get 1 minute. Dom, you won to dictate how this game is played. So you'll determine who goes first and who goes second. The only rules is that you cannot interrupt the other to try to amend their version of the story, because everyone has their own perception of how their origin story went. So Dom, who's going first? Is it you or Fran?
Fran.
Why would you do that?
Ladies first.
Gentlemen. So, Fran, you get 1 minute uninterrupted. Dom, you cannot jump in. I cannot tell you what to do with your minute when Fran is finished, but I wouldn't advise you to use any of your time to try to amend or clarify any of the things that she said. This is her freestyle. Right. She gets to say whatever she wants.
Absolutely.
Right on. Queenie, you got the timer?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. August 2000, my cousin brought Dominic to a party, a family party. My cousin played at University of Washington as well. And I saw Dominic, was like, oh, he cute. And then I walked over to the shoes and I was like, who J's are these? And he goes, oh, they mine. And at that moment, I was like, this is my dude. He gotta be mine. So I went home. I wrote in my journal that same day, I think I met my husband. The next couple of days later, working at Starbucks, I would bring my cousin food from Starbucks. Went to his house, knocked on his door. Guess who opened the door? Dominic Shaw. We talked for like 3 hours, exchanged numbers, and we've been talking ever since. That's how the story went.
3, 2, 1. All right, Dom, it's on you. Pick up where she left off.
Okay, slightly. I got her number from her cousin while we were working out. And then I gave her a call about 3 days later, because the rule was wait 3 days to get the number. And what I did was I called 3 days later and I said, Frank. And we talked for like 3 or 4 hours that night on the phone. And ever since then, we've been together and hanging out and getting together on weekends. And, you know, whenever I had time at school, she would come over to the dorm room and hang out. And, you know, I treat her to lunch because, you know, at the time I had a car full of money, and you go to the dorm and get food and we would just hang out. And pretty much ever since then, we've been like best friends and developing our relationship to the point where we're at today, which is, you know, husband and wife for 20 plus years. And
And you got it in a minute. You had like 1.5 seconds left. That's amazing. You guys are the first first couple to get your story from start to finish in 2 minutes. Congratulations. Matter of fact, let's get a round of applause. Let's get some cheering here. I got sound effect. Hold on. But you guys left a lot of meat on the bone. As you can imagine, you're supposed to. It's only 2 minutes to sum up 20 plus years. So let's dive into some of the, call it instances or milestones, mm-hmm. if you will, between meeting at that party, spotting those J's, working out and slipping, getting that number, and then getting married for what's going on 20 and counting, 20 plus and counting. So let's kind of talk about the transition that I like to call it, that pre versus post I do. Because I got to imagine that life was not the same after you guys took those vows. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely. You're right. All right.
So Dom, kind of talk to me about some of those transitions or those changes that kind of were like, wow, I didn't realize that this was what I signed up for, whether good, bad, or indifferent.
I would say within the first year, I got to know her by her outgoing personality. Like, she's just outgoing. Like, anything goes. Don't know what to expect. Don't know what she gonna do. Don't know what she gonna say. So it took me a while to adjust to what she was doing, because I'm like, you know, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? And so after that first year with her, I got used to her mannerisms. I got used to, you know, how she would act, you know, how she would wake up, or she would call any hour of the day, any hour at night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, just to say, I just want to hear your voice. Because, you know, I got to go to sleep because I got to go to school and I got football practice and I need rest because I've been, you know, basically on my feet, hitting people, studying for like 14 hours a day. So I want to get at least 8 hours of sleep, but not with her. It's not that happening. Or she might pop up at the door room and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here. I'm like, you know, so after a while, I just got used to that, and then to the point where I just developed a relationship to, I loved her for it, because she was down for anything. And it didn't matter when, what, where, or why. You know, she would have her day, she'd have an attitude, and she would tell me stuff about what's going on with her, with her personal life, with her mom and dad and family and stuff. And I would sit there and listen, not to ignore whatnot, but, you know, if she needed a shoulder to cry on, or if she needed somebody just to talk to, or she needed to let out some energy as far as playing basketball, because she wanted to get away from her family because of her family situation, you know, I was there. And, you know, I just pick up the pieces and try to encourage her to keep going, you know, stick with your mom and dad, even though, you know, I might have disagreements or y'all might have situations where y'all disagree, but stick with it and don't, you know, turn your back on them, because one day you might need them and they're going to need you. And so about, you know, 2-3 years later, next thing you know, we say, let's get married. Yeah, let's get married. Just like, all right. And going to her dad's house, mom and dad's house, to tell her what we're going to do. She was scared. She was nervous. I was like, hey, okay. You know, I know I'm going to hear it. And I heard from her dad, heard the whole story, the whole thing. Take care of my daughter. Do you have any plans? Y'all not going to make it. I don't think it's going to go far. Oh, yeah, he said that. Told me from my friends. I said, all right, we'll see. And, you know, come wedding day, he was there, you know, walked her down the aisle, had a tear in his eye, and, you know, actually told me probably during after the wedding, before we got in the car, he told me, he's like, you know, I think you'll be all right. I think you'll take care of my daughter. I said, thanks. That's all I wanted from you. And if you put, you put a smile on his face and he just left it at that. And we've been cool ever since, so.
All right, dead silence. That was was a mic drop right there. Fran, Fran, you know, Dom referenced, you know, a few times, you know, there being, you know, friction, that's what I'll call it, you know, between, you know, between you and your own family, right? And then at that point, it's your family. It's not our family. He hasn't, he has, haven't officially become one. So talk about what it meant for you to hear from him, Dom, you know, those encouraging words. Maybe they weren't even encouraging at the time. Maybe it was like, dude, I want you to be on my side. Like, why are you trying to get me to reconcile? Talk me through your mindset of having someone kind of in your corner during those, rocky moments.
Well, you know, okay, so you know my dad. You know how his, he's a very strong personality. So there was a lot of friction in regards to me being more of a, growing up and being independent and trying to be my own woman. But the, I always say that Dominic saved my life, because there was like a, I was in this weird spiral with my family. Like, I was always very independent and very in my own way, but it was causing so much friction with my family that it was like constant friction, constant fighting. And when I met Dominic and he gave me the strength to be like, I can do this on my own. Like, we can be together. We can make a family. It, I believe it saved my life, because I don't know how far I could have gone in that direction and not like lost my mind. You know what I mean? So it meant everything to me, to have the support of him and to be encouraging and to love me through the craziness, because like, he was on his own. He was in college away from his family. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have been like, I don't need this 18-year-old drama. Like, I can get me a grown woman that, you know, that's on her own and she ain't dealing with no mom and daddy issues. Like, he really could have been like, I'm done. But he kept it in and just kept supporting me and loving me through it. So we made it through.
Babe, go ahead and chime in. I know you
I was reading through the questions and stuff, and you mentioned like him, like you knowing that he was your guy. And I guess, how was it, his looks? Was it his, like, what was it? What made you say this is him?
I can honestly say it had to have been God. I do not know why at 18 I would write that in my journal. I've never have done anything like that. I really believe it was just like God was just like telling me something, because how would an 18-year-old know, oh, that's my husband? And we never said one word to each other. Like, there's no way. It had to have been God. So, I mean, yeah, I thought he's cute, he chocolate and everything, but but I wasn't like, I mean, I've dated a lot of chocolate guys. Like, it wasn't like he was anything extraordinary than any other guy that I dated. I don't even know. I can't even tell you why I knew that. I just knew it. It was in my soul. I don't know.
That's pretty amazing for sure. When you know, when you can meet someone and say, that's him or that's her.
Him. Mm-hmm. And I, that's scary too, because like, you don't want an 18-year-old thinking like, cause you know, we're young and we're stupid. Like, you're 18, you're very immature. I was definitely not mature enough, whatever. And I'm grateful that it did work out, right? But cause there's so many times we have 18-year-olds out there like, oh, that's not, I'm gonna marry him. We're like, girl, no, like, you know. But I don't know how I had that strong conviction, especially without it tearing my life up, because I was so immature. But it was, I only way I can think of it is God. I don't.
Yeah.
That's the perfect answer when you know you don't have the answer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, one thing that I that you said that resonates with me is that young, right? And like how that young. And you know, Queen and I, we met at 14. And I didn't journal at 14 or even 15 that she was the one. And it's super funny because like people who went to high school with us, that their recollection of our relationship was like, I always knew. And it's funny because between the two of us is like, we didn't want, like when I met her, I didn't know that she was going to be, I was just like, I was actually confused on why she was even in the school. Like, I didn't know that she was so short. I thought she might've been like a student who, you know, skipped a couple of grades or something like that. She was so little. Lo and behold, yeah, she's older than me. So, you know, go figure. 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks is still older.
Yeah.
Older.
We were really young.
We were really young. And so, yeah, when you say that, it resonates. Obviously, we were younger than that, than 18 when we met. By the time we were 18, everybody just was willing to bet the house on the fact that we'd be together.
Yeah. I would say by the time we were like 15, 16, I think we knew that, you know, we had, like, we were going to be together for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We used to talk about it. Maybe not at 14 when we first met, but I would say even at 15, we used to talk about getting married and when we have, you know, not even necessarily together,
right?
But just that, like at 15, like when I think about my son's 12, at 15, mm-hmm. at 15, I'm hoping he's not thinking about marriage. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, it's like, oh, he's so young, but we were that young, and we were thinking about what we wanted in life, and then shortly after that, I think we start talking about our life together, and we just knew that God put us together for sure.
Yeah.
And I often think too, like when you're young, because you don't have any reference point of things, like you don't, like, you know, now we'd be like, oh yeah, I dated this guy when I was 20, 25, whatever, but like when you're 18, 14, 16, there's no reference. So it's almost like but it's almost like, you know how they say, like, when you're like in the wild, never get bitten by like a baby snake because they can't control their venom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that for young people, like because we are so, you're young, so your love is reckless, it's strong, it's like whatever, you know, like you can put up with a lot because you have no reference point, right? Like if I met Dominic at 40, I don't know if we could have lasted as long as we did,
right?
Because I'm more mature. I'm not putting up with a bunch of bull. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not as flexible. But when you're young, it's like you're limber. You can, you know, you can put up with a lot. Your love is strong. Like it's so immature. It's just stupid. It's strong. Mm-hmm, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You can do it a lot. So like when people would be like, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. She's 18, she young. I'm like, no, they understand what it is. It's just that it's immature. They haven't grown yet, but the love is still real.
I love that. Yeah. I love, and one thing that we didn't necessarily have to deal with was so much was like the question of whether or not this was puppy love versus something real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I still recall my mom, both my parents, neither one of them were like anti-Quilina, but I still recall my mom like questioning my thought process because of how I would talk about Quilina. She's like, you're, you know, 15, 16 years old. At this point, we were a couple at that point. And I would reference, you know, I'm going to prom or I want to go to this or whatever the case may be. And it was automatically Quilina. She's like, well, have you thought about dating? Like, kids don't normally do what you're doing. I'm like, no, I don't want that. That's not what I want.
Mm.
You know? And my mom was like, it was a head scratcher. She would talk to her friends like, there's something different about this one. I don't get it. You know, 15-year-old boy probably got girls that are cackling at him at, you know, every left and right, which wasn't necessarily the case. I don't want to toot my own horn like I just had this fan club, but, you know, things happen.
Right.
And that wasn't necessarily my reality, or I was so, as you mentioned, like love is stupid, love is blind, where if all that stuff was taking place, I was so narrow focused on her that mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you made mention, Dom, about, you know, going to her parents and her dad explicitly saying, y'all ain't gonna make it. That, I don't know if I would have been mentally strong enough to take that type of criticism from someone that close to the situation, whether it be her parents, my parents, knowing how stubborn I am and certainly was bullheaded, I would have taken it on as a challenge, which I think it sounds like you did.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, okay, I'll show you. So I certainly would have had that mindset, but at the same time, I know that it would have planted some seeds of doubt that weren't necessarily there before. So, you know, applaud you. Again, let's do the sound effects. for not allowing that to break your mental, right? Because so much of a relationship itself is hard to sustain, keep strong, and things of that nature. But there are so many things that impact the relationship that go outside of the two of you, right? And
right.
You guys did a really good job of sort of blocking that out, or, you know, repurposing that energy and using it as fuel. So bravo to you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
No problem. I think now is the perfect time to take just a quick break. And we usually go into breaks with some mood music, if you will, for our listeners. And Dom, you did a fabulous job of picking this mood music. So I'm not dedicating this song to you, but I am putting it on your shoulders that this is.
I think I know what it is.
Yeah. So it's an oldie. It's an old one, but a good one. If I Ever Fall in Love by Shy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side.
Yep.
The very first time that I saw your brown eyes, your lips said hello and I said hi. I knew right then you were the one, but I was caught up in physical attraction, but to my satisfaction, baby, you were more than just a face. And if I
ever fall
in love
again,
I will be
sure that the lady is a friend.
Like you, my friend.
Very next time
I need someone who will be my friend.
I can believe
my friend. To be with me through thick and thin. Please share my love with me, my friend. I need someone like you.
Okay, so I have a question. I didn't know y'all were together this long, 14 years old, but how did Kalina, your parents, feel about the relationship so young?
Well, so my mom, you know, she always, well, first of all, she said I couldn't have any date, you know, I couldn't date a boyfriend or anything like that until I was like 16. So when I introduced Dante, it was, this is my friend, you know, and so, but, and my dad as well, it's like, oh, this is my friend, you know, this is so, you know, my friend. And my mom, she was more of the strict one. So she was who I was worried about. It wasn't really my dad, because my dad was kind of the go with the flow type guy. As long as you was doing right by his, you know, his daughters, he was good. My mom, she's the one that, like, you can't go here, you can't do this, you can't, you know, so she was really strict. And so surprisingly, though, she absolutely loved Elvis. Like, she called him her son. And I was like, son, we're not even, this is just my friend. You know, because at the time we weren't dating. It was, he was really just my friend. And so she was, you know, so she has called him her son, even now today. She, if people ask, do you have any, you know, she has all girls, those five of us. And then she says, oh, and of course, Dante is my son. So she, you know, so she kind of just accepted it. And she was, she had a lot of trust. And she just never, you know, she just always was cool about it. And I think once we were serious and, you know, dating, she was cool. You know, she was cool that she still had her rules and stuff like that. But, and then I think fast forward to getting married, she was all for it. She just loved him so much.
So, oh, that's so cool.
My dad too. My dad loves him. He's always like speaking highly of him and stuff like that. And so he's just proud of who, you know, who he is and
yeah. just,
you know, taking care of his daughter, his baby girl, not baby girl, because I'm the oldest, but his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I tell a quick story? She's leaving some stuff out. What so so she's right. We were just friends, and it was legit. Like, there was a point where we were friends and we didn't look at each other beyond that, right? I think it was the spring break of our freshman year. We had met freshman year. And then, you know, spring break of that school year, I went to a friend of mine's birth, a sweet 16. And unbeknownst to me, when I got there, I was the only boy. So you got to imagine a 14-year-old boy with no ties to anything. I was a kid in a candy store. There were tons of girls, right? And it was one of those teenage parties. So DJ, everybody wants to dance, stuff like that. Well, no one has a partner unless I'm not dancing. So I got to pretty much dance with every girl there. And there was a girl who took a liking to me that my friend was trying to play matchmaker with. And the entire time, I was like going through the motions of allowing her to do that, but it just didn't sit right with me. And I couldn't figure out why. Then got back to school and realized how excited I was to see her again. And I was like, oh, I think I like this girl for real. Okay, so fast forward, both of our birthdays are in August. As she mentioned, we're 2 weeks apart. So the summer in between that freshman and sophomore year, she had a birthday party, her 15th birthday. And we would communicate. She had a pager. This is how old we are. We're dating ourselves. So any of our young listeners, a pager was a electronic device that you could call, and that call would send them a phone number so that they can call back. Stupid technology. It makes no sense now because we have cell phones, right. But it was perfect for then. So that's how we would communicate. I would page her and let her know where I was, because I would go from my mom's house to my dad's house, you know, that sort of thing. So she knew where to call me. And one time one time I paged her, and of course, waiting for the phone to ring. The phone rings, I answer it, and it's her mom. Who just paged my daughter? What number is this? And I was like, shook. And I was like, hi, ma'am. This is Dante, Colina's friend. And she was like, well, she doesn't, you know, no phone calls after 9. And it might have been like literally 9:01 or something like that. She didn't play. And I was shook, right? And so, you know, we ended the call or whatever. And it was, well, she didn't cuss me out, but she was, you know, she was stern about her rules.
Yeah.
And then I don't even think they called it Emoji Fest back then. But I think they just called it the Black Festival, you know, down at Junkins. We met up, and unbeknownst to me, she was there with her mom. So it wasn't like a planned, let me meet your mom scenario. It was just, I'm looking to meet up with you. And your mom happens to be there. And so when I see she's with clearly family, and I'm like, well, I know who the mom is, you know, out of all these girls, like she said, she's the oldest of five. At the time, it was only four. I was like, oh, shoot, that's her mom. And I was with my cousin. I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. And she came up and just like hugged me and was like, son. And I was like, wait, what? I thought I was going to get socked for paging her daughter at 9:01. So yeah, like she said, her mom has embraced me since day one. My mom, No, maybe not necessarily at first. She used to call her that Qualetta girl. And that's just more of my mom not necessarily remembering people's name, less than not liking her. But I think my parents liked her. Both my parents have now, you know, passed on. But I think when they were living, both of them liked her more than they liked me, you know.
Yeah.
That was just the thing. Like, her and my dad would text more often than me and my dad. It was weird. It was usually like her asking for something, and she could do no wrong. If she asked him for a Rolls Royce, I guarantee you he would have bought her a Rolls Royce. Whereas if I ask him, then it's a lecture on how you're a man and you should get it for yourself, and I raised you better than this. And I'm like, Dad, I just wanted a piece of gum. Like, relax. you know. And then my mom was always like, tell my girl I said hey, and tell her to call me, and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's always been that. You know, that our family, not her family, not my family. I mean, for the sake of not confusing people, I will refer to her mom as my mother-in-law. But, you know, it's mom, right? She's my mom, right? And my parents were her parents. So,
yeah. That's dope. I'm going to be weird, but, like, Dominic is mad at me when I call my daughter's boyfriend my son. He thinks that's so disrespectful. He's like, I don't like that. I don't like it. But okay.
I would be more tolerant about it if I had a son of my own. But since I don't have any, I have all girls in the house. I'm like, really?
But her mom didn't have no sons.
Right? I'm just saying. That's just me. But I'm
me too, because it's his daughter. And he's now have to imagine, like, she's you know, with somebody or whatever. My dad didn't call him his son. Like, he never, you know, he didn't do that. So my mom was more of the, well, that's my son, or, you know.
Yeah.
So I think guys are a little different too. So.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Certainly. But babe, these two did a wonderful job in the I call it the pre-screener, pre-interview, you know, the survey questions. There's a question that is centered around some of the, you know, attributes that make a relationship healthy, make a relationship strong. Mm-hmm. And we ask you to pick your top three. And Kalina's going to go in and review those and reveal them to you. Because again, you guys haven't shared these answers with one another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So, Fran, you said, loyalty, friendship, and sex.
That's it.
That's, you did.
Oh.
You did.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that, Donnie?
Loyalty, I'm real big about. You know, with her, I'm riding out with her, you know, through thick, through thin, negative, positive, up and down. I've been like that with her the whole time I've been with her. So loyalty for me is a big thing. I don't let nobody come into my space just randomly. I mean, you got to earn, or I have to have a reason for me to trust you to come to my space and my time. Friendship, we've basically met as friends, and we still act like we're friends, even though we're married. But we are, for me personally, my foundation with her is friendship, because without being friends and being goofy around each other and, you know, just catting off with each other and just acting like we're just friends before we're husband and wife, you know, that's how we stayed together for so long. And as far as the sex, well, it speaks for itself. It just speaks for itself. I'll leave it at that.
There you go.
Now, Dom, you answered this question too, so I'm mm-hmm. going to reveal your answers, and then I want your reactions to this. So, like you, Dominic said loyalty, which he alluded to, is really strong for him. He mm-hmm. also added attraction and goals. Now,
attraction and goals.
Goals, yes.
Goals.
Mm-hmm. Now, does anything about what he put at his top three, like, does anything stand out as like a shocker, or is it sort of par for the course? Kind of talk about your reaction to hearing what he, you know, put in the upper echelon of attributes of love.
I'm thinking attraction. We never really talk about physical attraction. Maybe because I'm not sure, Clinton, maybe you can feel this way, but when you're together for so long, sometimes you get comfortable with somebody. And I don't feel pretty. I don't feel pretty at all most of the days. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't even know if you really are attracted to me like that.
You are beautiful. Don't say you are gorgeous.
Matter of fact, turn the camera a little bit because we got mostly Dom a friend. Turn the camera a little bit.
I mean,
but I'm surprised he said that because I just don't feel that way. But then also goals. I've never heard that from you before. I haven't.
We talk about it all the time. All the time. All the time.
But that's interesting. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the reason for this question is I'm sure everyone here has either heard or quite strongly familiar with the 5 love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that before, right? And those are very good indicators to understand how to communicate love towards one each other, with mm-hmm. one another, right? Like for me, touch. She loves affirmation, she loves quality time, those sort of things. So in order for me to show her that I love her, I got to do that. But these attributes are sort of the fuel of those vehicles, right? If you think of those love languages as vehicles, what really gets us to that point? And these attributes are sort of how I visualize, okay, so I know that she loves quality time if she honors, you know, loyalty and honesty, I'm using these arbitrarily, but
mm-hmm.
you know, if our quality time is making sure that we sit down and watch a show, I'm gonna be loyal to the fact that I don't watch the show unless it's with her.
Mm. Right.
Now, if I find out that you watched the latest episode of Power without me, there's gonna be some furniture moved up in here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Come on,
right?
Being,
absolutely. Like with Insecure or BMF. Yeah. Or Ghost, man, don't watch that without me.
So wait, you watch Insecure?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
See?
Did you like it?
I did. We watched it together, all 5 seasons.
So we were late to the Insecure party, right? Yes. We were late. And I was like, man, Issa Rae's blowing up. I got to see what this is about. I don't like diving in. I'm really, this is consistent of who I am. I don't like diving in when everybody's doing it. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to be caught up in this whirlwind of this echo chamber of, oh, that's dope. Oh, that's dope. And then everybody else's opinion is now jaded mine. So I let things kind of die down before I really dive into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we never communicated this about Insecure. We never communicated about, and she started like articulating that she was getting interested in checking it out. And I was like, well, don't do that without me. Like I'm on that same train. I was actually going to ask you if you wanted to watch it. You know, COVID has given us the opportunity to kind of binge watch stuff.
Right.
So she went and just started watching it, like binge watching it. I was like, what's that? She's like, Insecure. I'm on like 3. I'm like, wait. What happened?
No, that's not how that happened. I started watching the show and then I asked you, have you heard of Insecure? And you was like, oh yeah, I wanted to start watching that. And I said, oh, well, I'm already in 3, so you got to play catch up. But I don't think that you're really going to be interested in it. That's how the conversation.
Okay. So yeah. I jaded the conversation a little bit. Unbeknownst to me, she started without even asking me. That's my point.
No, because it didn't look like something that he would even be interested in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's done, caught up, finished, or what? I don't know
I haven't finished.
But it's like, I'm so far behind. I'm like, man, whatever. I'm not even going to watch it, man. But. Yeah, we have our shows, right?
We have
Queen Sugar.
The Power.
Power.
Yeah.
We were late to the Power. Not too late. I think Power was in its first, had just finished its first season. Again, everybody was going off about Power. I was like, and this
Empire.
Is clear. Well, Empire, you kind of dragged me along with that one. That just showed my loyalty because I was like, this is. Come on, drip, drop, drip, drip, beauty. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Taraji, though.
Great show.
It ended up being entertaining. It just wasn't, like, when people compared it to Power and I finally tapped into Power, I was like, these are apples and oranges. I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the same.
No.
Yeah.
It's not the same. But off the first episode, like I watched Power as sort of like a, okay, this is a pilot, right? I was piloting the first episode of Power, watched it on demand, and she was out. This is obviously pre-pandemic, so this is years ago. And she was out and about, and I watched it and was like, I want to watch the next episode, but I can't. I got to get her to watch it first. Mm-hmm. And so she gets home, I'm like, babe, Power. You think Empire is dope? Man, Power.
Yeah.
Just watch the first episode. If you don't like it, cool. That'll let me know that I can watch it independently, because I'm watching Power. And we watched the first episode and we were hooked. The boys had to be in bed like Sunday. Give us this. All right. We're gonna get our Lord in the morning.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get this Power in at night. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a balanced thing. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, these attributes, going back to the attributes, they're huge. And hopefully, you know, this is an opportunity for you to kind of look at your spouse and go, oh, okay, I know that these are at the top of his or her list. So I might pay more attention to these. Not that you didn't know that they were important to your spouse, but maybe you now pay more attention to those attributes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely will now. I didn't know.
You talk about them all the time.
I'll be like a scrub.
Please stop it. Anyway.
All right.
But it's not just looks, though. Well, it's not just the outer appearance, though, either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's, I think it should be more. I mean, it's more about what's inside, because we all in the house. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So,
yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, trying to look our best inside is not always the case. Mm-hmm. So I think I want you to, you know, I would want my husband to love what's in the inside too, and still find me attractive. And then outer appearance is just a bonus. So.
Oh yeah.
Now sure. Dom said sex speaks for itself. So I think that speaks to the fact that you ain't necessarily got to be all dolled up.
Exactly. You don't.
Oh, no, no.
You don't.
I mean, but what man ain't gonna like a little sex now?
Oh yeah. No, yeah, hey, what we like a little, a lot? We like a medium size, super size?
Right.
Like...
Cup run over?
Yeah, right. Come on now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know. That's
now, right. Since you brought it up, because we've had this conversation amongst the two of us for years in regards to the male versus female approach to sex.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She subscribes to the school of thought that men want it. Talk about it, think about it way more than women. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you that men probably think about it more, but it's closer to 50-50 than you think. And I was like, let this question be sort of our barometer, right? So Fran, you're not the only person who has put sex in their top three. Mm-hmm. But when I tell you that the majority of the people who have been the women, I just want to tell you thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to touch on this just a little bit closer. We ain't got to go too deep.
Oh, well, okay. We can go as deep as you want, but I'm open.
What did I tell you? I told you. What did I tell you? I said, Fran's not going to have a problem with this conversation.
No.
So you guys may mention to, you know, being parents. Now, how many kids do you guys have?
Three.
So do we. And Dom, you made mention to being the only man in the house. So you have three daughters. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about this whole navigating what I like to call frolicking for the sake of being PC.
Okay. This is so how old are your children?
18, 14, 6.
Okay.
Ooh, 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to maneuver in a whole type of different way.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, honey, listen. I'm
yes
like,
and no.
I'm like, you popping it. I'm going to pop it, too. Look.
Yes, I appreciate that. Okay, so I guess that kind of already answered the question because, you know, it's not like we can just get it in whenever we want to. Like, we've got to kind of navigate around the fact that we do have kids.
Well, really,
yes and no.
Really, it's around the 6-year-old. It's not really the 18 and 14. That they probably hear us and don't care. They'll be like, oh God, mom and dad are fucking again. But it's not like, it's not like the 6 year old will pop in and be like, why are you doing that, dad?
Wait, so you guys have been, they've ran in or the 6 year old has caught?
Yes.
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 It happens all the time, actually.
I won't say all the time. Not all the time. I would say like 35, 40% of the time.
Oh, because I'm,
yeah.
Because Dom, I was going to say, like, what are those cues? Because she made mention of sex. You did not. Right. So what are those cues? Because for me, the cue to know that it's about to go down is go lock the door. Oh. It doesn't sound like you guys get a go lock the door.
Yeah, we do.
Really?
We,
yeah. First of all.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Go lock the door.
What?
You don't ever say go lock the door?
That's him every time. He said lock the door. I'm like, I don't care. Let
you say close the door. I lock the door.
But
what? Well,
because I have a six-year-old who will just somehow, wow, some way, click, 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 unexpectedly.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think our kids are majority of the time they're asleep. So it's not like, yeah, majority, yeah, of the time they're asleep. So it's, I don't think the cue is go lock the door. I think yeah, once, you know, it's getting, gonna go there, then it's like, okay, you know, just in case somebody wakes up, comes down the hallway, you know, it's just,
have a bad dream.
Yeah.
The 3 year old stays in his room, so I'm not worried about him, but yeah, it's the older one, you know, that may wander.
Yeah, to know what's going on. And it's, at night, we're fine. If it's at night, usually that's the best time for us to have sex, that's fine. But if it's like on a Friday midday and I can't wait, and then he'd be like, okay, let's go through real quick. And then she come waddling through. Mom was like, girl, do you have a light? I need you to go downstairs.
Well, why not just lock the door?
Why do we?
Oh, she knows how to unlock the door.
Yes. And there's two doors. So like we have a regular door and then there's a door, like a laundry room is connected to our bedroom. So she can walk, and you can't always hear her coming from that side. So by the time you hear her, she's already been watching for like 5 minutes.
Right.
Oh God. Oh my God.
Yeah. There it is, right there. Well.
Y'all got to put the laundry basket in the doorway so that she has something to have to climb
on. Put some bells or something on the door.
But I'm hoping she's kind of getting out of that, like learning that I need my time. Like, get away from us. We love each other.
Or knock. Boom. Or knock first or something. Like, knock on the door, yeah, and my door is closed.
You know? Girl. But, you know, whatever. She's the only one that does that. We've had two other kids. They've never, ever, ever, like, even, they probably heard it was like, let me walk away.
Yeah, so.
All right, so I don't even know how we segue off of sex to something else, but I'm going to try to do it.
Okay.
Only because this, like, literally shocked me as I read it. I'm going to just read it as it was written. Dom, you answered this question, and it was in regards to, like, you know, certain challenges and learning, key learnings from challenges that you may have had in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Your answer was, when Fran had her health situation after giving birth and died twice. I literally stopped and reread that sentence. Like, did I just read what I thought I read? You said, yeah. I learned to cherish and make sure every day counts towards us enjoying each other's company and enjoying our friendship, which speaks to what you just talked about. But let's back up a little bit on that died twice.
Okay.
We're talking to a miracle right now.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Like, talk about it.
Okay. For our third child, she was admitted to the hospital. We thought everything was going to be normal. You know, she was due February.
March.
She was due March. But we went to the hospital early because she was complaining about some pains in her stomachs or whatnot. So, make a long story short, they checked her. They figured out that the baby had, I think, the umbilical cord around her neck. I think is how it was.
With a heart rate.
Or a heart rate, because they had a umbilical cord around her neck because her heart rate was dropping. So they said, we're going to do an emergency C-section and get the baby out, and everything will be fine. So we thought we'll be in and out, you know, within a couple of days. So they got the baby out, and she wasn't breathing at first, but eventually started breathing. And she would have to cry. I said, Fran, you know, the baby started crying. But then Fran said, I can't breathe. I'm thinking, oh, you know, she must have, you know, she got the epidural. And, you know, they opened her up, said, I thought she would be fine. Oh, she was joking. But she's like, I can't breathe. And she's the doctor, I can't breathe. And the doctor's like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And this is all in the hot, this is all in the room. And next thing you know, Fran just drops. And then the doctor's like, cold blue. Now, my grandma's a nurse. If you say cold blue, something is really, really wrong. So the doctor rushed me out. You got to get out the room. Baby's already out the room. She's in the other family. And all hell breaks loose. So for the next 8 hours, they're operating her. She's losing blood. Her shattered. What got cut?
My uterus.
Uterus. Uterus is gone. And at that point, she's bleeding out. And then find out she has a blood clot in her lungs. So heart stops. Once, first time. They bring her back. They're working on her again. Trying to, you know, she's getting an emergency blood transfusion, all that. Another blood clot pops up, heart stops. Got to bring her back to life twice, the second time. Doctor comes out. We don't know if she's going to make it within the next hour. We're trying our best to get her back, you know, up and at least breathing. At the same time that that's going on, they had a meeting at the hospital, at the University of Washington Hospital. 50 of the best doctors in the state are there having a gathering. They all go to her room to all resuscitate, you know, bring her, try to, you know, see, figure out what's going on with her because her heart stopped twice. Make a long story short, about 9 hours later, they put her in the ICU. They saved her life. She gets her phone and texts her mom, takes a picture. Mom, I feel better. She can't talk because everything's down. She got tubes down her throat, but she texts her mom, hey, mom, I feel better. And I didn't know at the time because she's in there not saying a word. And he's like, oh, it's, you know, it's touchy night and day. You know, the next 24 hours will let us know if she'll be all right. She pulled through and she's here today.
I'm fine.
Praise God.
Yeah. Praise God. So, yeah. And through the end of the whole trial, basically, she had, an average human has 15 pints of blood in their body. They have to give her 34 pints of blood, which is a lot. Okay. It's beyond a lot. And she had three blood clots in her lungs. One was real big, two were medium size, and her uterus is gone. It just blew up. How, we just still don't know to this day. But, you know, she's a miracle walking human being. And so that's why every day that I'm with her, I cherish every minute, every second, because it could be gone just like that.
And so, Fran, you're a doula?
I am now because of that situation.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so because of what happened to you, you wanted to help women and just be there during their birth?
Yeah, at that time, I had no idea about Black maternity, like the morbidity rate for Black women having babies. I did not know. I mean, I've had two babies prior to this. I was in and out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never had any problems. But this, like, shook me so, like, I mean, first of all, I mean, it shook my family way more, but it shook me, like, how my body failed me, like, having a baby. And then I realized it wasn't my body, it was it was the lack of representation, you know, in the hospital, people that couldn't, that didn't know how to take care of a Black woman in a hospital. So, which is why I'm a doula now. I want to be there for not just Black women, but all women, you know. It's an issue for white women too. It's not even a, it's not, it's worse for us, but white women are dying in high numbers as well in the hospital.
Man, I think now is the perfect time to take another break. Let everyone sit with that. But on the other side of this break, we have fun questions to ask. So we're kind of transition, but let's give everyone a break to kind of breathe in the fact that, you know, and that's not to take any of this lightly, right? A woman puts, every woman, as you mentioned, Fran, every woman is putting her life on the line when she decides to bring a baby into this world. Tons of different things can, you know, go wrong for a number of different reasons, some that we know, some that we don't. So again, can't stress enough how much of a miracle you are to even be here. And then to take that, you know, take that traumatic experience and, you know, par for the course for you guys to kind of take something that isn't necessarily favorable and redirect that energy to something great. So proud of the work that you do. I try not to look too long at some of your social media posts, because Fran, she's not holding any punches.
Mm-hmm.
A baby's coming out. I'm not trying to faint while looking at Instagram. But no, we're gonna go into another song. And Fran, you picked the song, so you're gonna have to help me just in case I get the artist's name wrong. But the song is titled "Lie to Me" by Queen.
Oh, Nyjah.
Queen Nyjah. "Lie to Me" by Queen Nyjah.
Bet they hear these words and call me foolish. Call me stupid, like what the hell I'm doing. I've been in the studio and focused on my music. Ain't got no time to press you about them holes that you've been screwing up. Cause I know where I stand. Know I got the key to your heart in my nightstand. You gon' find that testing out the waters ain't exciting. As you thought it was, nigga, you'll be coming right back. Crying ain't gon' fix it, so I'm still here. Long as you respect the way I do feel. Love me good and lie to me. Don't want broken promises, don't want apologies. I don't wanna be the one complaining. Long as you don't see nobody that I hang with. Yeah. Love me good and lie to me. Don't want broken promises, don't want apologies. Long as you don't see nobody that I hang with. They don't understand our arrangement.
So we got the fun questions.
Okay.
First one, if you went on a double date with a celebrity couple, who would you pick?
I would actually pick, to be real honest, probably Will and Jada.
Damn.
That's a good one.
Like current right now, Will and Jada, or?
Yeah, I want to know what, come on now.
What is going
on? Some information. What's going on?
Oh, you're trying to get all the tea.
You're trying to get the entanglement information.
I want to know all the entanglements.
You want to untangle the entanglement, huh? Dom, which couple would you pick?
I'll say LeBron and Savannah James.
Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah. I think them too.
What do you do on a date with LeBron and Savannah?
Basketball first. And then talk, you know, investments, business, how they raise their kids, how they're trying to get their son into playing basketball with the dad at the same time. You know, his family, her family, everything. Just talk about everything.
Just talk
put
about
it all on the table.
You just just have them come over to the house. We'll cook something nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like it.
Have some chitlins or a shot of tequila, whatever.
All right. So I'll stick with you, Dom, on this one. You lead us off. If you could give up one chore for life, which chore would you give up? You don't have to do it no more.
One chore for life. Man. A chore. Washing dishes.
Amen.
Yeah. Washing dishes. I'll leave it at that. Washing dishes.
How about you, Fran?
It would be washing clothes. I hate folding clothes and putting them away.
The laundry.
I want, like, some people want to be like filthy, stinking rich for like a lot of glamorous reasons. I just want to pay someone to do. I want a Jeffrey, essentially. I just want to be wealthy enough to pay someone to do the things in the house that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anyone out there who's looking to become a Jeffrey, don't hit me yet because I can't afford you. But just know,
right,
I'm at you when this Powerball comes through.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Ooh. Okay. Exactly. So grits, butter, and sugar, or salt and pepper.
Ooh.
Don't say the wrong answer.
Salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only way to go. The only way to go.
Say it again for the people in the back, though.
Salt and pepper. The only way to go. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, go ahead, babe. Tell them. Let them know.
No, it's okay.
No. Let them know.
Wait. Somebody like grits, I mean sugar, butter and the grits. Sugar.
Someone does.
Woo. Well, I have a little cheese in there too, though.
I mean, cheese is okay, but butter and sugar is the best.
Now down here in Atlanta, you say sugar and grits, they might kill you. Just being honest.
What did I tell you? Your mom tried to justify that, talking about that's a down south thing. I said they do not eat sugar in their grits themselves. I don't know who told you that lie.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Nope. Maybe they look at you funny, like, where are you from?
Louisiana.
You must be up north.
Yeah, I mean, that's where my family's from. So maybe that's
my barber is from there.
And
he said nobody put sugar on their grits. He was actually offended when someone said, when I told him that someone told me that that was a Louisiana thing. He wanted to almost fight me.
Man.
So just so you know, that's a question that we ask every couple, and we're keeping a running tally because she seems to think that I'm in the minority when it comes to the salt and pepper thing. So yeah, that's going to be a running tally at the end of season one. We'll be able to determine which one is the actual winner. Is it butter and sugar or salt and pepper? And just for the record, I don't say butter anything because I automatically put butter in my grits, right? Yeah. So it's butter, salt and pepper. The mere fact that you have to call out butter should be a reason to let you know that sugar doesn't belong in there, because you have to call out an automatic.
Yeah.
It's like saying pancakes and syrup. You don't have to say syrup. We know that you're going to eat those pancakes.
Not everybody eats syrup on their pancakes.
And they're weird. I guarantee you on a Family Feud question, if you said, what goes on pancakes? Survey
says.
Yeah, I agree,
but some people put like strawberries.
Weird.
Some people put
whipped cream.
Some people, so not everybody uses syrup.
You know, some people have foot fetishes too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's something out there for everybody. This is all I'm saying.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. So last question, and this is a multiple choice. You get to pick one. Okay. And this is par for the course for Fran and Dom.
Gotcha.
So I'm interested to see which one you answer. So you got to pick one. Either A, a quickie every day? B, I think Fran already picked her answer. B, good sex twice a week.
Ooh.
Or C, amazing sex once a week.
Quickie.
Dom's going A, quickie.
Yep.
I would go with B, good sex twice a week.
I want to know what's keeping people away from this amazing once a week. Is it just too, is it too much? Is it?
It's too little.
Yeah.
It's not as frequent.
Yeah, it's not as frequent. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not gonna be amazing. It's not. Let me keep it real. You're not gonna hit a home run every time. Let's keep it real. You're not. You ever see Steph Curry go 12 for 12 from the 3-point line? No. You ever see Steph Curry go 10 for 10 on free throw line? Sometime. So sometimes be amazing. Sometimes it's gonna be good.
No,
sometimes
this is a guarantee. This is a guarantee. Once a week, it's amazing.
Yeah, if you pick C, it's guaranteed that one time you do it, it's amazing.
But the quickie, 5 minutes, I'm giving you the best 5 minutes of my life. You know what I'm saying? The best 5 minutes of my life. That 5 minutes, you're going to get the very best of me. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say quickie.
I mean, touche, no one said a quickie couldn't be good or amazing. So you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You get all three phases. You might get good in 1 minute, then minute number two might be amazing. Then minute three might be like, okay. Minute four, it's over. You're done.
And before you even started, Fran said, go close the door.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Look, at this point, you're gonna find out about this anyway. Go ahead.
Right on. Well, I can't thank you enough. I can't stop smiling because you guys are so funny. I can't thank you guys enough for carving out time to vibe with us, hang out with us, give us a little bit of the pieces of your puzzle of love. How corny am I? But no, really do appreciate it. Fran, do you have any like social media plugs for Doula, or should we point anyone to any specific websites or anything like that? Certainly want to give you the platform to.
Oh, thank you. Well, you can always my business page is AAH Doula, DOULA, on Instagram, and then awdoula.com for anybody who is looking to schedule a consultation. But you can find me on Facebook, Francisca Shaw, and also on Instagram, Francisca Bonita Shaw. So, yep.
Wonderful. I will make sure that below, all of your contact information will be there.
Thank you.
As always, everyone who is watching on YouTube, you see our contact information below to find the Puzzle of Love podcast. Everything is Puzzle of Love Pod. So if you search at Puzzle of Love Pod, you'll reach us on Facebook, you'll reach us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Make sure you smash that like and subscribe button, as the YouTubers say out there in the stratosphere. Smash that like button. Make sure you follow, subscribe, share. Our email address is down below as well, so feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions. Maybe you're interested in sharing your puzzle of love. Maybe you're a couple, thruple. We don't discriminate. Maybe you're in a polyamorous?
Polyamorous.
I can never say that three times fast. Polyamorous. If there's more than two of y'all and y'all doing some stuff and want to share us about your pieces of love, do that as well. No, but all in sincerity, we appreciate Dom and Fran joining us. Until next time, peace.
Thank you.